Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday, write down three things I believe, I think, I know. Record and listen.
I like the I believe, I think, I know.
Yes. Yes. All right. Here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Karen from Madison.
Hello, Karen.
Hi. I guess one of the first things for me was I believe everything is going to work out for me. And
is that your experience?
Yeah, it actually is my experience. Maybe it's even I know things are working out for me. Eventually, you know, even if eventually it takes a while to get. I believe it even when I don't see it. So.
So you're talking about something along the lines of faith. Or trust.
Maybe it's trust.
Based on your experience.
Based on my, yeah, based on my experience. I think, based on my experience, things have worked out.
Yeah.
Even when, like when I look back and I'm like, oh, like a couple really good ones, I was like, oh, I didn't know, like I wanted to move to Seattle when I was married. We had this plan to move to Seattle, and it fell through, and it was really kind of a big uproar. And we didn't move, and then some years later, like 10 years later or more, I got the big gift in we put roots down in Texas, and there was this big gift. I just got the gift of it. I mean, and so that's why I just like, and I see it easily enough.
So there was a feeling of having wound up in the right place in spite
yes,
of
having,
what
yeah.
all the voices were saying about, oh, this is the worst thing. This is tragic. This is, God hates you. That's why this is happening to you. You're the wrong bad person. And it all turned out to be perfect for you.
Yeah.
So that causes you to choose that perspective. That
right.
Whether you can see it right now or not. Yeah.
And it's and I can hold it for other people too. Like when things are happening, it's like somehow this is going to work out.
Well, it's the old story that became such a cliche a while back. He was Chinese in the story I heard, fellow who had one son and one horse.
Yes.
You know that one? Well, maybe yes, maybe no. Well, maybe yes, maybe every time something would happen and people would go, oh, no.
This, oh,
well,
that's horrible.
Maybe yes, maybe no. And in each case, it turned out fine, and then it went to another, oh, no.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so
well, that's good to see, isn't it?
Okay. It's really good to see, and it's really like makes the world a magical place too, because things are not as we seem. It makes it, it makes it a really more magical.
Yeah, and it sounds like you are looking for the magic all the time,
because
you know you're not seeing things right now. You know that, and so you're looking for it.
Yeah.
Love it. All right. Thank you, Karen.
Okay. All right.
Bye.
Thanks, Karen. Sure, what was dropping in for me is how with practice we get to the process place of everything it's working out, which is irrelevant, which is not dependent on the content. The content works out or it does not work out the way we want it to or we don't want it to, but on a process level we get that it's always okay.
That is a great point, because what you're saying is, I may never I may never live where the voices say I want to live or should live or would be the best place for me to live. But on a process level, what I get is that I am getting what is best for me in every moment in every situation in my life. If
that's
I'm
right.
paying attention and looking for it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's very good.
Mm-hmm. Here's our next caller. You're now live
All
on
right.
the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Christine.
Hey, Christine.
Hi. Yeah, let's see. So I also, what you said, Sherry, I believe that I think I know, but I know that I don't.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, that's
one of those, aren't I cute moments, isn't it? So cute. Just getting caught in that.
Yeah, and let's see. So I believe, it seems like I believe from my own experience, and then I think from what I observe others are doing, because I look out at the world and see all this different stuff, and so then I think things, and then I think I know from my own inner experience, that's really all I know, I think. I mean, that's all I know.
So Christine, what you're describing is the process to me. The process of presence, which puts you in touch with where and how you are right now. And then, which is fine. Right? It's fine, because it always is. And then you look outside and go to conditioned mind to see what's going on, with other people, to compare other people to you, to, you know, and then once we're in conditioned mind, of course, things are not so swell. And then you come back to presence, drop that thinking, just come back to your experience. And everything is fine again.
Yeah.
Is that kind of the way it goes? Uh-huh.
Yes, and it is. And I guess I don't always see it that way, but of course it is that way, that when I'm looking out, what are other people doing? What's going on? You know, what's going on? And then I would look out and look around, and then I think I know what's going on because I just look but it is.
Well,
yeah, I guess I didn't see it that I was looking to conditioned mind to find out what's going on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's like we just put on conditioned mind glasses, right? And mm-hmm. we project from conditioned mind. We think we're looking at other people and circumstances, right? But we're just projecting through those conditioned mind glasses. And so then I see what I see, and the information I get is, yep, that's what's so. And I go back to thinking I know.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
Back here, and all of it is fine, even the fact that that's what I get pulled into.
Yep. Yeah, and the reason I don't know what I see out there going on is because it is a projection. Because it's only coming from me. How else? Where else would it come from?
That's right.
Is that what you're
saying? That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, because I don't know what's going on with them. I can't see anything from anybody else's perspective. So if we said, okay, so I know what I'm seeing, that would be iffy, but it would be closer to what's going on. Ah, so I see what I'm projecting.
Mm-hmm.
That would be even closer, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But instead, we look out, and the information we get is what I'm seeing is true, is real, it's fact.
But it's not.
Of course, it's not.
Yeah. And then that reminds me of the last caller, and I project a really positive type outlook on life. And sometimes that's what I do. I just project, wow, look at those happy people. They are enjoying their walk or whatever they're doing. And I guess I do that so that I can, that feels good, I guess. And that keeps me at that happy place.
Well, you're going to happy, right?
I'm going to happy.
Right?
Yeah.
And so that feels good. And you project that. In fact, you know, they could be doing God knows what in their walk.
I know. Yeah. Yep.
But we'll never know. And it doesn't matter. We might as well project.
Yeah.
That's right. What you see is that you're projecting enjoyment because you're enjoying.
Yeah. Or I choose to enjoy. I mean, I'd rather enjoy than not.
Yes. Yes, you turn your attention to enjoyment, and enjoyment is what you get.
Yeah, and that's what I see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 Fun, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's enjoyable. It makes you happy.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Christy.
Well, thank you very much.
You're very
welcome.
Okay, go
happy.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks, Christine. Two things were dropping in about that, Sherry, that the conditioning that requires everything to be absolute, not relative, is so revealed in our requirement to know, right? That concluding something about life rather than just looking to my experience. And so I don't know whether they're happy or not, but I know that I'm projecting I'm happy, and that is what I'm experiencing now, which is the point.
Yes. I was just reading something that there's a big point in the world right now, or in this country, not in the world, in this country, about somebody making the statement, truth is not truth. And people are going crazy, right, because he made the statement. And it's such an interesting statement. I project what he was saying is, what is true for one person is not true for another. And everybody's going crazy because of the desire to believe that there is an objective reality in which, as you say, absolutes exist. This is true. It is true now, forever, always, for everybody, under every. And I would say that's not so. Right? Mm-hmm. It's all relative. And people can be in the same situation, and what is true. Not, they're not hiding and lying and deceiving. It's really true for them. Is not at all what's true for somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it seems to me that from a practice perspective, always the only encouragement ever is to see where the projection is coming from. Is it ego projecting, or is it awareness recording in intelligence? And the fun part of having that level of discrimination is just the fun part of having that level of ability to be aware.
Yes, and to enjoy the awareness rather than hung up on, is this right? Is this wrong? Is this good? Is this bad? Is this... Yeah. So stepping out of that dualistic world of ego into...
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and because that from that place of awareness, I'm less likely to go down the road of getting identified with the projection of ego, which never goes well. But from a projection of awareness, nothing can go wrong because I'm not identified with what thinks something is wrong or right. It just simply is.
Yes. Yeah. That's a turn conditioned mind inside out. You know, conditioned mind can't even follow something like that.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, it's a sort of, what is the point of existence then?
Yes.
Yeah.
If you can never know, if you can never be right, if you have no control, if you can't predict, what is the point? What is the point of any of this? And from conditioned mind, from ego's perspective, that's a really important argument to make.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because if we say, well, the point of it is we get to be alive. We get to live our life. That's the point. That is not good news for ego.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Christina from Southern California.
Hey, Christina.
Hi, good morning.
I bet you're seeing some good stuff about this one, huh?
So what I'm looking at around this is, you know, when we talk about truth, and there's this level of when we, you know, if we take the statement, what's true for me may not be true for you, there is like all of my, I guess this would be my conditioned instincts come up, right? Like, but there has to be some semblance of order, right? At some level. You know, there's got to be, you know, Gandhi, he was always, at least from what I've read about him, it seems that he was on the pursuit of truth. That was his
doing experiments in truth.
Exactly. And that was his version of, you know, how to lead a fulfilling life or a complete life or however you want to describe it. And, you know, his experiments with truth, I think, well, I mean, that's just his word for God or for presence. And at the same time, just a lot comes up for me around truth. And what I get to see is that I equate often the word truth with what is right. right.
And what I happen to know you're in a line of work that is based on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is based in the notion that there is a truth that is true for all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And really,
I bet you've seen a lot of cases where you know that that's not true.
Well, I mean, two people can watch the exact same thing and see something totally different.
Yes, and nobody is lying.
Exactly.
Nobody is coming from a bad place. You know, Christina, and then I'll let you go on, but the place that I look at this is culturally, where there are cultures who believe in the depth of their being that certain things are right and God-given that are appalling to me. Right?
Yeah.
That you should kill your sister if she does something you consider not honorable. Mm-hmm. And that's not coming from a hateful place. It's coming from a deep belief that this is right and this is what God wants. This is true. Yeah, now go ahead.
No, I wish I had more to say about it, but I'm in that space of, I almost want to call it shock. Because on the one hand, I really, in the marrow of my bones, I get it. Like, I get that, that, this, it's all an experiment, and that and people really are doing the best they can do with what they've got. And I get to see that on a daily basis, all different levels of people's delusion, and then also just doing the best they can and being fully perplexed by what is happening in their lives. Like, they just have no clue how they get from A to B. I don't know how to say this. I don't know why it's so, I find myself in this place of not being able to articulate anything. And I think it's because this gets right down to exactly why I practice, why I chose the profession I did. And yet, even though I know all of that and I live all of that, in that place of, you know, what is true for one may not be true for another, it also
you're in shock.
Right. Well, it still feels like I can't really let go that place in me that loves to argue and loves to be right, you know, loves to bring the evidence to, you know, to support my point, you know, because I got into it with a relative over the weekend on politics. You know, he's a conservative and I'm not, and you know, really, it was fun. I mean, when I say I got into it, I don't mean to say we were arguing. In my opinion, we were having a good time. But, you know, it's so, like, to get to that place where it's like I'm willing to let that go. I get that it's ego driven. It's just I don't know what to say. It's hard.
Well, I think, you know, Brian was describing it yesterday,
that
practice of sitting back and just listening to what's going on and watching the opinions arise. And boy, is that a workshop, right?
Yeah.
Because everything is, as Ashwini was pointing at, you know, we're letting go of absolutes in something like that. And the absolute we're letting go of is me. I.
Exactly. And I get paid to.
Yeah.
It does, yes. And I get paid to be an I, you know, to have an absolute and to, you know,
and
the pursuit of. Yeah. And so the sitting back, I mean, I really am going to take that on. I mean, not in. In the courtroom, but I'm going to for my client's sake, I will.
Yeah.
That's
that place to me where it's really important that we are able to watch both of those, in quotes, realities at the same time. I can be watching what's going on in that experiments in truth attitude of mind. And I can also know that I'm living in a conditioned world where this is the game that's being played. I don't have to believe it. I don't have to take it seriously. I do have to take it seriously in the sense that people's lives are at stake. So I can't be cavalier in my, as you say, you know, well, I'll just sit there and watch the prosecution make their case, right? Because that on any level, that would not be okay to do. And so can we fight for what we, the way we want the world to be without going into a conditioned belief system that makes people bad and wrong and causes us to forget a non-separate reality and slide into that ego duality.
Yeah. Yes. That's so helpful to see. Just like it's helpful to know that two witnesses to the same, let's just call it the same crime, can see two completely different things unfold, and neither one of them is coming at it from a place of hatred or manipulation.
Yeah.
Yet they still want to be able to share that because they've you know, they have something to say and they have a role to play in that process.
Mm-hmm. As we all do, huh?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, Christina. What a profound conversation, Jerry. The thing that was, two things were dropping in for me around that. It's that place, I think it's an Alan Watts quote, right? That we all are actors in a play and we take it seriously that that's who we are rather than playing a role.
Rather than remembering that, we're actors.
That's right. That way of what you just pointed out, which is the frameworks that we argue for are simply arbitrary. It doesn't mean that it's true, but to be sincere and wholehearted in giving ourselves to that while realizing it's simply an arbitrary framework is mastery.
Yes. Yeah. That's why enlightenment is sometimes defined as being able to see whole mind and small mind simultaneously.
That's exactly right. And to me, that shock is the shock of recognizing that there are no absolutes is the ultimate encounter with the intelligence that animates. Because everything in life is true. Everything. It's the largest place where it can hold all paradoxes and all oxymorons. And therefore, it really, really causes us to question the absolute I, right? Because in that I, nothing is relative. Everything's fixed. And it's all a matter of what's included and what's not.
Yes, and that view of whole mind, that in whole mind, everything is true. Wow.
Yeah.
I'd take a person there, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Everything is true. Yeah. That's such a great, it's almost a definition of whole mind.
Yes.
That going beyond ego's world of opposites. Everything is true.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well, we have time for one more caller, Sherry, so I'm going to squeeze another caller in. Here we go.
All right.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. This is Todd.
Hey, Todd.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. I'm just going to try to make a little quieter here. That's not external noise. Is that better?
Mm. Yeah. Oh, no, you sound great.
Thank you. Wow, that is a fascinating conversation. I have been looking at this really recently following in North America, Canada, and the U.S., First Amendment rights and the Bill of Rights in Canada, and it relates to that truth of filming public photography in public, especially following police officers. And what I found fascinating about that is it's based on the premise
Todd,
that...
Todd, give a tiny bit more background for us, if you would.
Yeah, so there's this increasing activism where folks go out and they film police officers in the course of their duties, and police officers are interfering in that First Amendment right to film on public property and civil servants in the course of their duties, and they're publishing it on YouTube and social media for the world to see. And what's fascinating is that when those rights are denied and they're arrested for filming and it goes to the courts, many times the prosecution and the judges see the videos differently than what these activists are trying to present. And it was really relating to the previous conversation of... The difference is that the interpretation of the laws is based on what, I think it's what interests are trying to be protected. The interest of the police officers of doing their job, but not wanting to be seen of maybe using excessive force or denying people's constitutional rights. And the premise of the activists is that the videos never lie. They're the truth. But when it's taken to court, it's not always the case. because their civil rights are still being violated in the court systems, which is just fascinating to see that.
And when do you give up that right?
Right.
Because what just dropped in with that is when I become a parent,
yes,
I give up my right to just go out and stay out all night if I want to. Right?
Yes.
I mean, that sounds kind of silly, but it really is the same sort of principle. So when I become, in this country anyway, when I become a primary school teacher, I give up my right to just hug children whenever I feel like it.
Uh-huh.
There are rules about that sort of thing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
So that is fascinating. I don't know if I've gone too far afield on this.
I think supplementary to that is the premise is when we go out in public in a public place, we give up the right to any expectation.
Todd, you're really doing this strobing thing all of a sudden. So when we go out in public, we
Sorry. It's my Wi-Fi. I'm going to miss. Any expectation of privacy.
Uh-huh.
Therefore, anyone with a video camera, I mean, there's cameras everywhere. I mean, we're in a Big Brother world here in Canada, in the U.S. There's cameras on every corner. There's cameras in every, you know, federal building. There's cameras everywhere. But for the public, Joe Public, the citizen to walk in with a camera, all of a sudden it's perceived as a crime because I have not given you permission to film me. But in public, it's been ruled by the Supreme Court of the U.S. and in Canada, there's no expectation of privacy. We've given up that the minute we walk out our doors.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's all on YouTube. So if anyone listening or Sangha yourselves or Swinney, just Google First Amendment audit. These activists who are giving up all their freedoms in there, a lot of them are being arrested, a lot of them are being tried in court and found guilty, even though the First Amendment rights protect the freedom to publicly film in a public place. It's all on YouTube, and these auditors go out daily to try to protect the First Amendment rights of freedom, freedom of the press, freedom of speech.
Wow.
It's fascinating. Based on the premise that videos don't lie, but that's not true, because when the judges and the prosecutors look at the videos, they just construe it the way they want to see it to make the conviction.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, that's what I saw in this whole exercise. It's amazing. One little exercise, I'm like, wow. That's what I thought. Like, you know, believe. What do I believe? What do I think?
Yeah.
And what do I believe? What do I think? But what do I know? And then I'm just relating it to the last conversation that you had and to this whole activism that I've been drawn into. And even in Canada now, it's picking up steam, and there's auditors going around to all the cities. It's happening locally. It's happening especially in the east where the larger cities, Toronto, Montreal, Ottawa. And they're coming up against the same system which violates civil rights on a daily basis.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway.
And who knew?
I didn't know. And you know, it's so funny, Sherry. I'm online and I'm doing something. I don't know. And all of a sudden, this little ad comes up for community activism. Public. And I just clicked the link, and all of a sudden, I'm drawn into this whole world I had no idea existed. And it's looking at protecting our fundamental rights and freedoms that I had no idea about. So talk about an eye opener.
Right.
You know, eye opener.
Yeah.
I mean,
and
this whole another
a projection exercise.
Oh, huge,
right?
Projection exercise.
Yeah.
Huge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Huge. Watching the police officers projecting on the activists, the activists projecting on the police officers, then projecting on the judges and on the prosecution. Yeah. It's just amazing. Amazing.
Wow.
It's a great awareness exercise. So if anybody's interested, it's all on YouTube. There's thousands of videos, and it really is a great awareness training practice.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And thank you, Ashwini, and thank you, Sangha.
Go happy.
Yes, go happy. Treasure yourself.
Yes.
Thanks, Todd. Well, I think I know.
Yeah. And maybe not.
Exactly. All right, Sherry, that brings us to the end of the show. And our exercise for today is what difference do you experience in these, in thinking, knowing, and believing?
Okay, say that again, Ashwini. What difference
do you experience in these? So the previous exercise was, I think I know these things. I believe I know these things. I know these things, these three things. And then what is the difference in the experience of those three ways of I believe, I think, I know?
Ooh, subtle. All right.
Very
well,
subtle.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Go happy. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Treasure yourself. Talk to you tomorrow, we hope.
Thanks.
Take
care.